Brisbane Wakes Up with Steph, Abby and Matt on B105.
What's up, everybody? You've downloaded today's podcast. Well done. Good on you. Maybe it was yesterday's podcast, actually, because maybe you're behind a couple of days. Even still, that's fine. You don't have to do that.
I met the mum again of, the bonsai man. Bonsai boy. What's his name? Over in... Sean? Is it Sean? I'm going to go with Sean.
Okay. I can't remember, which I feel bad about because he's listening.
His mum.
He's
I bumped into his mum at Westfield. And then we were talking about it and he does bonsais over in Japan. Shout out to him. And Maddie started following him.
It is Sean Hartley.
They become friends. Yes. And the reason. And then I met a girl at the shops on the weekend and I was talking to her, a lovely girl called Emma. And then her mum came in and was like, Abby, it's me again. And I was like, oh, now I've met your daughter and I've spoken to
you. There you go.
Your son over there. So a shout out to all those people that are overseas listening to the podcast who can't get home yet.
You strike me as a bonsai guy.
I'm not a bonsai guy.
I'm a bonsai girl.
You're a bonsai
I
girl?
I love bonsai.
In a bonsai world?
There's a big, big store in Adelaide on Anzac Highway that has always sold bonsais and Dad used to take us in, walk around and get
You don't have any, though.
We had one in Adelaide.
They're
very expensive and you've got to maintain them, but I think they're beautiful.
They don't fit with my aesthetic in my garden, but I appreciate what is involved in making a bonsai. Like people don't think people really realize what an art form it actually is.
They were a trend for a while, weren't they?
You do need to take them away. You need to recut them, don't you?
Yeah, you got to prune them.
I'm not exactly sure how it works, but you got
to
think
do the roots to get the top.
Yeah, they're making miniature versions of plants and trees that are generally massive. So it's like a science. I'm Sean's listening to this going, sure is. Sure is. But they're very expensive. Like if you get a well established bonsai, they can sell for a lot of money.
Yeah. I just like that Sean has gone over there. He doesn't speak Japanese. And he's, would they say sensei? No, probably not. Anyway, his teacher.
Yeah, is, that would say sensei.
Doesn't speak English.
Ah.
Oh, really?
Mm.
But they bond over their love for bonsai.
A good one.
That will be the story in their Netflix special. Two men who didn't speak
Why
an
are they
ounce,
got a Netflix?
Found another language to communicate, the language of bonsai.
That's right. Clippers on, clippers off. Water on, water off. All right, here we go. Podcast today is a big one. We're talking to Matt Shervington, a crazy story about why he still trains. He wants to fight crime.
He does.
So should we arrange that for him?
Yeah, I guess so.
Stav, you're up.
Okay, I'll mug him.
So that is coming up in today's podcast. Stick around. Here it is.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Weird compliments.
Your ears are perfectly symmetrical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, they look good.
I'm not good at compliments, so I can sympathise when people say sort of strange ones. And you leave a conversation, you're like, oh, wait a minute, was that a compliment or not? Because yesterday I was on the panel for A Brave Life. It's a wonderful charity. It supports women like your wife, actually, Maddie, who have found themselves pregnant at a young age and how they navigate through life. And it's wonderful to be able to support because it's hard to have a child, but to have a child, you know, when you're quite young, and there was a lot there that was 17 or 18 or 19. It's a wonderful charity. And I was on the panel there and we're just talking about International Women's Day and motherhood, and a young girl came up after me and she said, that was really good. I was like, thank you so much. She goes, you spoke so well. And I didn't know.
How old do you reckon this girl was? 18? 17? 18?
Or a little bit older, actually.
Okay, yeah.
But just, you know, a little bit older. And she said, and I didn't know who you were. I was like, of course, don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes, but then when you were talking, I realised I've heard a podcast you've done.
Ah.
And I was like, I knew that was you because it was such a distinct accent that I wouldn't forget the Ocker accent. I was like, thank you. She goes, so it was really wonderful. I was like,
you know how you can't pronounce words properly? That's how I know it's you.
But do I have an accent? And then am I Ocker? Like, what's the definition? And this just played in my mind because I was asked to do
a... Did you say, I'll piss off?
And then I thought about it. I was like, did I swear too much yesterday? You know, I might have swore too much.
I think anyone that starts a keynote speech by saying, how's yous all going?
I did.
Great to see yous all here.
<You didn't know. laughs>
It's a bonza day, isn't it? Hey? Pop another shrimp on the barbie.
Am I that ochre? And what is the definition of ochre? Because this come about because we're recording some ads.
Did this come about, did it?
Am I?
No, I don't know. I don't think you're ochre. Oh, no. Oh, no, me, I'm bloody. I don't even know how to speak.
It doesn't matter if you are. No. Like, I know that we're bogans.
Yeah. I don't think that you're ochre. But I think she's probably picking up. She is mistakening the Adelaide twang for ochreness because you say words differently.
We were talking on Friday, and I came up to Maddie. I said, "How do you say pool?" Because I was recording a commercial here, and they were like,
"You're in Queensland, mate. It's a
P-O-O-L.
Pool.
P-E-W-L.
Pool.
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 I say it like him. Pool.
Yeah. No, you say pool.
I'm saying pool.
Yeah, it's pool.
You're saying pool.
You're saying pool.
Guys. It's pool.
It's pool.
Pool, school, your fool.
Pool.
How do you say school. Castle?
Castle.
If you say castle, I'll jump this desk.
Good to know where your limits are.
How do you say?
Castle.
What do you say?
Castle.
You don't. That'd be such a castle. Now I'm in my head about how I talk. Pool.
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 I'm saying it, mate. Pool. So, that's it. Pool.
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 If you're just joining us, we're all having a stroke.
Sounds like you're so frustrating.
Nah, that's a Queensland, and I think it's more north. The further north you go, the poolier it gets.
She was thinking that I do suit further north.
Right.
Where do I belong?
Do you reckon that's Scott rubbing off on you? Because he's very ochre, you would say.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
Yeah. Because
it's all my brothers as well.
Because Adelaide has a sort of almost an English quality to it there.
Yes,
accent.
But some people think it's like English Cockney.
Oh, right.
Because they'll always go, there was no convicts in Adelaide.
No, there wasn't.
So my mum will try and talk quite proper. But yeah, my brothers aren't. And they live in Northern Territory now, so now it's just...
Shout out to anyone
from
Northern Territory. Also, they've got pools too, do they?
Yeah.
That's how they say it there. it's a big one in Queensland, the old pool.
Pool.
Yeah,
right.
That's how people can understand us.
Yeah. Mm. We've also got ports too.
Yeah, we do have ports.
We take ports to school.
Mm.
No one says port anymore.
No, they don't put the port in the port rack?
No, they say bags.
They put bags in the port rack? Doesn't make any sense.
How dare they?
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast.
B105. Things you can say
would say in bed.
What can you say in the bedroom? And another scenario. We're doing it on a Monday morning to clear your mind for work. Today it is while camping, because that's what we're doing on Thursday.
Yeah. Don't be shy, guys. We've got a few callers on the line, but this always takes a little while for everyone to warm up. So jump in at any stage. Just get right on in
there. What about it says it's a 10-man tent, but I could do 12?
Yeah. You could squeeze an extra two in, couldn't you?
Well, you can if you go,
sideways.
I follow the instructions. 13, 10, 16.
Josh in Augustine Heights. What can you say in the bedroom or while camping?
Oh, morning, guys. You could probably say we can either put it up tonight or in the morning.
Or both.
Yeah. The big gazebo. You're never sure whether you should just do that straight away.
You put it up there's too much rain, it gets too heavy.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate it. To celebrate our camping trip this weekend on the Sunshine Coast, what can you say in the bedroom and whilst camping?
Brendan and Birkdale, hit us.
Do you think we've got enough rods this time?
I hate it when there's a rod left. You know, you're like, where does this go?
I like the hand reel. A little bit of hand.
That's good. But you got to wash down your rod, though, because it can get real fishy.
Brendan's, you do that, Brendan?
Brendan's done his work. He's out. Do you know, I've got to get your husband to help me with my rod.
Every time. He's like,
I don't know how to bait the rod.
Oh, no?
So,
you're not getting any nibbles on your rod?
No. And Stav doesn't want to do fishing, by the way.
You and I have never been fishing together.
He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah,
he says
we're going
all
fishing.
He does is just have to set it up for
and
his daughter.
And I'd have to do it for him, too.
Yeah. Like, no, Scotty will be there.
And yes, we have been fishing together.
Magnet fishing, but not fish fishing.
Melissa in Springfield Lakes, what can you say in the bedroom and while camping?
We're going to get filthy. I still haven't showered.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's not going to stop me, Melissa. Let's still have some fun. Tara in Regent's Park, what can you say in the bedroom and whilst camping? It's not dirty, it's just your mind that makes it seem that way.
I'm ready for that spit roast now.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's always exciting when...
Wow.
You've never had it?
I don't want to come camping anymore.
Oh, you don't? You don't want to go camping with Tara? Who doesn't?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'll come.
To be fair, I've never had a spit roast.
You haven't?
No.
You haven't been invited to the same... Oh, right. No, I have. My friend always has an annual one every year.
A hog? Well, they do a whole hog?
Are you right, mate? Yes, they do.
It's usually a pig, isn't it?
You need to service it well enough. I think that's where people go wrong. Do you know what I mean? When it turns and you've got to put all the juices and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Hey, John in Bribey, what can you say in the bedroom and whilst camping?
Can I come inside?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mate,
mm-hmm.
Come on in.
Yep.
Plenty of room. Plenty of room.
Adam and Alex Hills, what can you say in the bedroom and at the campsite?
Damn, that wood is hard.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you know who's bringing the wood because you don't want to get there and not be able to stoke the fire.
And I always think wet wood is what's an issue.
Yeah, you got to keep your wood covered. You do. You got to store it and for the time leading up as well because if it gets damp like the week
you
before.
You can't use it.
No.
You need tinder.
Yes, you do.
Glenn in Collingwood Park, what can you say in the bedroom and while camping?
So following the wood line, we're going to need more wood to make this last longer.
Yes. Yeah, we had a situation where someone came to ask for my husband's wood, like if you guys are leaving. Oh. And I was like, we'll just take it with us normally.
Oh, I guess if they're out of wood, it's nice to throw your stranger your wood.
Yeah.
As long as they're asking for it.
He did.
Yes, if they are asking for it.
You can't just give them wood without their consent.
Adam, in Burpengary, what can you say in the bedroom and while camping?
I think the ropes need to be a little bit tighter.
Yes, they do, my friend. Looking forward to it this weekend. It's a family camping trip.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
We're going camping together on Thursday and it's always exciting when you're going with different groups because you're like, oh, we've all got different rules here.
Oh, yeah. It's always interesting to see how others operate in family settings.
Yeah.
Because they're different.
But it's the norm in their world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always just like, oh, okay. You do that, do you?
You do that. Yeah.
Yes. And I was just checking with you guys. Are we taking iPads? Because I was like,
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Because I like the kids to run around and not just sit on the iPads all day.
Good for you.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, see, this is what is hard is because our three families camping together. If there is a family without iPads...
Then they just go to the ones that do.
That's right. So those kids will just sit with the other iPad kids. Mm. Or, like, will we have to then go, no, you can't have your iPad?
Yeah, well, in honesty, your daughter would be in tears if I don't take the iPad and you do. Because Finlay, if he's banned from iPads, he just has a way of them appearing in his hands.
Oh, really?
I always walk in and Xander's watching him play.
Yeah.
No, I'll just help you here. Mm-hmm. You said that an hour ago and now you're still helping him.
Give me your iPad.
They come out. Finny took it. But it's also those different rules of like what bedtime we go to bed. Because I used to go and stay at a friend's house, Tanya, her name was. She lived up the road. And then her parents came out and said it's bedtime. And they used to go to bed before the evening news.
Six.
So I was the younger, so I used to always stay up and watch 21 Jump Street.
Great.
Probably way before my time and I shouldn't have. Mm. But they used to go to bed, 10 to 6.
Wow. You must have freaked out when Channel 10 started rolling out first at 5 with their news.
And then the 4 o'clock update. Yeah. Like, I'm getting 20 hours sleep. Yeah.
How old was she when
we would have been in school, maybe year 3.
Okay.
That's early.
Mm. So then her parents, because I was like, I couldn't sleep, they used to let me stay up and watch the news with them while they went to bed.
Wow.
So she would actually fall asleep, wouldn't just lay
there? Right. Yeah, her and her two brothers would go to bed.
God, I would love that
to be a rule
in my family. I mean, not great when you're a kid.
Because I used to always think it was for like the kids' health. And when you think about it, no, it's not.
That's for the adults'
health. For the adults, brilliant.
I remember going to my mate Chad's house for a sleepover and big family dinner. And then the grandma went, and now our guest will say grace.
That's such a dog move.
Is that here in Australia or Scotland?
Here. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not calling his grandma a dog.
That's rude. You don't do that to the guest.
Not to the guest.
And not to the kid guest.
No. To get the guest. The guest already is awkward that they've got to hold hands with strangers at the table and then also say grace.
Did she know you were brought up as an atheist?
No, I just,
I'll get them.
I was like, all hail Satan.
Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub.
Yeah. No, the mum saved me. She was like, I'll take it. So,
yeah. Do they know if you're religious or not?
No, but you're there. It's their rules, their house. It's what you do.
I guess so.
You know,
when you're the guest in there. Yeah. 13 10 60. Phones are open right now. We didn't do that in our family. That's the question we're asking. Do you remember as a kid? And then you also get the same thing now when you get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. You've then got to find out what their weird little things about their family are and integrate them back into your life.
I had one person came over to our house and they said that their son didn't play with guns. So if we could just refrain from that. And I thought,
what the guns say, Scotty?
But like Nerf guns and all that, they're everywhere in a house. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, no worries. And just never has. So if you just don't mind, I was like, no worries. So I had to run around the house and try and like hide all the guns together.
But even then, that's.
Well, they said that he wasn't really into it, but the first thing he did was just pick it up and like.
Yeah, of course. It was forbidden. Sarah in Ipswich, those things, the weird things that you didn't do in your family, what are they?
Good morning.
Morning.
So I didn't know this until I got together with my partner. We've been together for 4 years. But in his family, you had to eat everything on your plate. But in my family, you had to leave something on your plate. Otherwise, my mum would just keep giving me more and more and more and more food. So when I brought him home for the very first time and my mum started feeding him, he ate everything just to try and be polite. And my mum just kept putting more food on his plate. And he looked at me like, what do I do, babe?
So, yeah, to leave food in his family was disrespectful, but, like, in your
you had
family...
To. It was a stop sign.
Yeah. You were hungry.
Yeah. Like those restaurants where you turn the cube over to red or green if you're finished eating.
Oh, the Mexican restaurants in Bombay, they do that. Yeah.
Hey, Brooke, you're on. What was it with your boyfriend's family?
My boyfriend's family doesn't say bless you if you sneeze, and they don't do birthday cards.
They don't say bless you? That's an issue for me.
Yeah, it was really weird. The first time I did it, like, you sort of look around and wait for someone to say it.
Yep.
Did you bless yourself?
Yeah, I do. And if someone else sneezes, I'll say bless you to them, but it's not even like a thank you. They just continue on.
Do they have a reason behind it? Are they not, I mean, it's a religious thing, I guess. Maybe they're not religious or...
I have no idea. They've just never done it. I asked my boyfriend when, like, I was like, you guys don't say bless you. And he's like, no, I never have. Like, never.
Right. It's a taught thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, taught you into it.
Apparently in America, hip hip, when you sing happy birthday, hip hip hooray is not a big thing. Mm. So my friend's living over there and she was at like someone's birthday party. They all sing happy birthday. She said she ripped out a big hip hip. Everyone stopped and turned to her like, what is that? She goes, an Aussie thing, don't worry about it. She said it was the loudest hip hip in her life. Like, let's all together now.
Tara in Carina, what did you find out about other families?
When I was 8, we moved overseas and I made a little friend. She was my first friend. And then I had a little sleepover. And after dinner, they were like, okay, you can go and do a wee now. And then when you come back, we'll mix it with some apple juice and you can drink it before you go to bed.
What?
So, no, I'm not even lying. So they were a little bit alternate and the mum believed that drinking your wee every night was really good for you.
Were you sleeping over at Bear Grylls' house?
Is that for real?
No, she was just a little girl. I was only 8 and I didn't know what, I was polite.
Wow. Did you drink it?
No.
How did you get out of it?
I was just like, oh, is it okay if I just have the apple juice?
Hey, Luigi, we got another one.
That is so...
That's crazy.
Strange.
Now, you've got to ask your parents' permission to make you drink your own wee. I feel like that's a parental charge.
I wonder if it was just a joke and all these years you've just thought that they were really going to do it.
Some people think
they really did it. Like, no, they very much... did it.
Well, there you go.
The urea that they think is nutritional?
No, I don't know. Some people.
I don't know. I don't know if there's any truth to it or if it was.
Did Kevin Costner's Waterworld just come out? Because I know that in there, that's how they.
Old reference, mate.
He filters it at least. He puts it through that little machine.
I can't believe it. I don't reckon they're going directly to cup to mouth.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for calling, Tara.
Wow, thanks, Tara.
Stav, Abby, and Matt for breakfast. B105.
The fastest show on the planet is here. Ultimate Tag.
Yeah, what a great show. Ultimate Tag. It's back tonight, 7 o'clock, 7. Shervo, Matt Shervington is on the air with us. You're it.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's isn't it amazing? I mean, blink and you'll miss it. It is the fastest show on the planet, and it really lives up to its name. That's for sure.
You know, when I watched it, I was thinking it was going to start like old school. One, two,
miss a few, 100. But in saying that, I mean, it's not really a possibility that you turn around and go, "Nah, you didn't get me." Like it's a bit different than that, isn't it?
Well, we did actually toss up the idea of picking our players by doing eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which we used to do as kids as well.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, it's Chip, it's Tiggy, it's Chasey, it's the game we all grew up with in its simplest form. However, we have amped it up. We've created this 3D Ultimate Tag Arena where the obstacles unorthodox, you don't know how to use the course. As you saw the players come out, they haven't really seen the course before, so they have to create a strategy on the spot. And then you've got the pro taggers who are some of the most elite athletes in the world in their field, be it parkour, athletics, gymnastics, fighters, dancers, you name it, they're there. You literally get a 5-second head start, you run into the arena, and then 3, 2, 1, the pro tag is after you, and it's non-stop until they rip that tag. And for some people, as we saw, happens really quickly. For others, their evasion skills are ridiculous.
Mate, we know you as a commentator now, and I loved watching you with the NRL and stuff as well. But you know, you first shot to fame through being one of the greatest sprinters in Australia and the Olympics and stuff. And with that comes fame. And I'm reading here that you and your wife had a bit of a scare with someone who was stalking you.
Yeah, we did actually, which it was when I've got two teenage girls now, and it was when they were very little, and I was doing quite a bit of travelling. I just started doing some broadcasting for Foxtel for their Olympic Games, and I was away for quite some time during that period. They were very little. My middle girl would have been barely 1, 2 years of age, and my wife, Jess, got continual calls throughout the night talking about which one she wanted to choose for him to take, and putting on voices. And anyway, we had the police come around and they kind of laid out the rules as to, you know, how we can identify the person. And, you know, you need a certain amount of repetitive calls and you need to be able to file a stalking charge. And in the end, it stopped. And we assumed that, you know, a warning was sent out either by the telecommunications carrier or the police. We're not 100% sure how that was followed up. In the end, it was a massive scare, and they described the front of the house, and they knew exactly where we lived, and that was, it was really scary.
Because I had a situation like that, and I don't think people realise to be able to trace all the calls, you need to leave it off the hook for sometimes. So when I was getting abusive phone calls, you've got to take it off so that the telecommunications can then track it down. It's crazy all the stuff that you have to do and document it. But you see, like, it depends what it was, but I had to leave it off the hook and hear them abuse for that long.
To let them go.
Did you find out, did you know the person, or was it was just some crazy?
No, I don't know. I mean, all we can sort of have faith in is that it was dealt with because obviously the call stopped. But Jess actually called his bluff and said, well, okay, you know, if you know where we live, then you would know what the house looks like and whatever. And he started describing the tree out the front of our... We have this massive jacaranda out the front of our house.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, the jacaranda's in bloom. And he was speaking in this girl's voice. And it was just... confronting, to be honest.
On the other side of it, though, why the hell would you stalk you? It's not like they're going to catch you.
I've always dreamt. I had a coach called Linford Christie who won a gold medal in the 1992 Olympic Games, and he was coming out of Harrods one day and someone had stolen a priceless vase out of one of their displays, and the man that decided to chase him down was Linford Christie, the Olympic champion in the 100 metres.
Wow.
And he crash tackled him, the vase survived, and that's like my ultimate dream. It's like, okay, it's on.
So you're hoping one day you're just walking down the street, someone steals a bag off the arm of an old lady, and you get to be the hero that chases them down and just ankle taps them?
You know, I had a near miss once. I was at a cafe and I was kind of sitting out on the street and I was with some mates and I had my phone out on the table, as you do, and I went to the bathroom. Someone decided that was the moment that they came and took my phone when I was in the bathroom and they had taken off. And my friends came out and said, your phone's been stolen. Someone just ran away with it. And I was like, no, I missed my chance.
All right, if I ever see you out and about, Sherbo, I will steal something of yours.
I feel like we should stage this as a little bit of your bucket, you know, your bucket list or whatever. So two guys here.
It's the only reason I'm still in training. It's the only reason I'm still in training.
That's funny. Good stuff. Well, mate, look, we really appreciate your time this morning. Ultimate Tag, Channel 7, 7 p.m. Matt Shervington, a real pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Love your work.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
All rise. It's Judge Matty.
So Matty got a very exciting letter last week.
Yes.
It would be my dream. You got a letter requesting you to do jury duty.
Yeah, it's for 5 weeks starting in May, and I need to make myself available. So I'm trying to work out whether I could do the show in the morning and go to jury duty or whether I have to take off the whole 5 weeks.
I think it's exciting, but I had a FaceTime chat with my parents and that's all they wanted to talk about.
Right.
It's one of those things, it always happens to a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And then when you're like, oh my God, I know someone who could possibly be on the jury.
So my dad's like, who's going to replace him? And I said, well, he doesn't have to do it if he can get out working. He goes, it's a legal document, Abby. He has to do it. I said, no, he doesn't these days. He goes, I know how jury duty works. He has to do it. Anyway, so that was his concern.
If you know Pete. That sounds exactly
like him. Yeah, and I was like, no, if employer can't give you time off these days, you don't have to.
So he doesn't want me to get out of it. He thinks I should do my civil duty.
There's no option. That's what he thinks. Now, Mum had a concern that you might have not thought about, and I was like, are you for real, Mum? She's like, I need to think of these things because Matthew may not. So Bevy, my mum, joins us.
Yes.
What was your concern that you thought Maddie hadn't thought about?
Oh, it's a real concern, for heaven's sake. I don't know how no one's thought about it.
Mm.
If it's a murder case and they know where you work or live, Maddie, and you give the wrong vote, you're in trouble.
Oh, yes.
Because generally the jurors wouldn't be recognisable. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. She thinks it's a big deal. And I was like, no, he'd love it for content.
What, getting murdered?
No.
Just hang on one second before you kill me. Can we get Parente here to film this?
I just need to do a TikTok. Is that okay?
Post it for me once you've killed me. It is going to get so many
likes. Now, Mum's really concerned about it, so she doesn't think you should because a murderer will know who you are.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Yeah, they'll know. Well, it's not fair on Stab or Abby either because they know where you work.
No, that's true.
Oh, so you're concerned about us, is what you're saying.
Putting your favourites in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of looking for a way to knock them off without it being my fault. So this might be good at. No.
Yeah. But the thing is, the murderer would be happy.
If you say no, you can bring all this up because they probably haven't thought about that.
But the thing is, like, Maddie, if you say they're not a murderer, then they're not going to come after you. And if you say they are a murderer, they're in jail.
Yeah, but the murderer's mates will get me.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's their friends that are out.
You guys have been watching too many crime shows.
I'm with you, Bevy. Your mum, you don't give enough credit.
Yeah, I did know guys, you know, Abby.
Mum used to work at a place and the Hell's Angels. So once, Mum sent me to get my car fixed, right?
Yeah.
This is my dearest mum. She's like, okay, no, these guys are going to fix your car. So I rock up and there's this like high fence and like 10 security cameras on me. And she goes, no, that's the place. Because I gave her a call, I'm like, what is this place? She goes, it's fine, just knock on the door, they're expecting you. So I knock on this door, all these gates open, these big bikies come. What's going on? I said, I need to get my car fixed, I think. They're like, no worries, your baby's daughter, come in. And I was like, what is this place? And it was the Hell's Angels headquarters that were going to fix my little Datsun.
How did you know? How do you know the bikies, Bevy?
I used to work in the hotel opposite.
Oh,
they used to come in.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Bev. If he gets a murderer after him, you can get him protected by the boys.
Well, yeah, I think you've got to pay back favours, though, don't you?
Yeah,
somehow.
You do. It's never for nothing.
They're always very polite.
Yeah,
and then I can only speak. And they used to have cups of tea.
On the other hand, if there is someone on trial and I'm part of the jury that makes them innocent, friend for life.
I guess so. I don't know.
It's up to you.
Got to take.
Yeah, but that's what they're my parents' concerns. So it's up to you. You make your own decision, but just think about it.
What does your mum say, Maddie? Is she concerned about your safety or?
I haven't even brought it up with my mum, to be honest with you. God. Yeah.
I mean, Esther isn't worried about me dying because she knows how much my life insurance is worth. So
oh,
I did.
Yeah, well, that's fair call.
I did see her flicking through that the other night.
Are we going to need to sequester a jury to work out whether or not Matt should go on a jury?
You know, probably. What will happen, though, is we're talking about all these exciting cases and they're going to be deep and whatever. I'll get there, it'll be some fraud case that'll be boring as hell.
Yeah, and they'll just hear you go, oh, they got a good one.
Next case. I appreciate you thinking about me, Bevy. Something we're going to have to consider, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Stav, Abby, and Matt.
Love you, Mum.
Love you. Bye, Dim.
Bye.
Bye.
Stav, Abby, and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Alpha Bucks is worth $10,000. Tomorrow, you can score it when we are live on the air at 8 a.m. It'll be the 9th of March. Sorry.
Oh, missed a whole day.
Yeah.
Parrot and Phuket are two of your answers.
Stav, Abby, and Matt for breakfast. B105.
You'll always hear it, especially today on International Women's Day, that it's all about women supporting women. And I do believe in that because I think at times we can be worst enemies.
Your own worst enemies.
Yeah, we can. Mm. We cannot support other women. And I always go, when you cheerlead other people, they'll end up doing it to you. You know, so really go out of your way to be able to do it. But there's some stats that have come out, a bit of research, which is alarming because we say that we should support other women. But what about your best friends around you?
Mm.
Do they support you? Because there is an online quiz that you can do saying about whether your relationships, talking about with your friends, are toxic.
Frenemies. Have they gone from friends to frenemies?
But sometimes you don't realise that you go, wait a minute, when I leave them, I don't feel good about myself. Wait a minute, when I've got good news, they are never there for me.
Mm.
Or if I reach out to them in desperate need, are they there? And you go through all these different scenarios and you don't think about it. The average length of a friendship, a female friendship, is 16 years.
That's long.
It's long. So it's actually 6 years longer than the average romantic relationship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's even longer than you have with your hairdresser as well. They've gone through different ones. But it makes you no surprise. Are people holding on to the friendship for too long?
Mm.
Does that change dependent on the time in your life at which you become friends, do you think?
That's
so, like, high school people change when they leave, and then if you meet someone, say, in your 30s, are you, because you're more happy with who you are as a person, maybe you pick a bit differently?
I think there is, but there's also people that don't serve you anymore, and you hold on to it because you're either too embarrassed or you've always been friends, so you think that you should always be friends. And I think there's been something quite, oh, God, if I'm getting rid of my best friend, like, who am I? Or I'm alone. We're trying to think of it in a different way of going, well, people come into your lives at different times and you need them for that moment, but it might not always be the case. And there was a group of three of us that were so close and we'd been friends since we were 4 or 5. And then we just started to realise that one of the girls, when you gave her a call, she never asked any questions about your life. And when I was going through a lot of bad things and trying for kids and having miscarriages and said there, and it was so flippant back that you hang up the phone and you're like, why do I keep persevering with it?
Mm.
And it's because they've always been there.
Mm.
So you feel like you always should.
The mattress theory.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he loves this mattress.
What's the mattress
theory? He loves this mattress theory. Someone told it to him once and he found it very profound.
I like it.
Yeah,
so friendships are like when you throw a ball at a wall, right? And you throw a ball at the wall and the ball bounces back and you catch it. So the wall returns the ball.
Yeah.
Some friendships are like mattresses where you throw the ball at the mattress and it stops and goes down and you have to go back up and pick the ball up and walk back and throw it again.
Don't be friends with a mattress.
Don't be friends with a mattress.
That's what he told me after that.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Or you can do the online quiz. Either way.
Says, you are a mattress.
it was from Making Mattresses.
They're saying that we...
I doubt it would be, because no. Making Mattresses would have said, this mattress is your best friend.
It'll always send the ball back.
I reckon it was a brick company.
I can't wait for him to do these analogies with his daughter, and she goes, what? I don't get it. And you're like, here's a mattress I've put against the wall. Yeah. Let's see if we can throw it.
Don't be a mattress, Rory.
We sleep on hover mattresses these days. They're so 2020.
They're saying that we put up with emotional abuse from a friend in a way that we wouldn't put up with in a romantic partner.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know, 131060, did you actually realise that your friendship was toxic and you had to leave it?
This might be dawning on you now. There would be people, hopefully, who are listening to this and going, actually.
Well, it goes through scenarios and saying, if you got a promotion at work, how would you be celebrating?
Right.
And there's all the different scenarios where, you know, they come out and celebrate their birth by the first round, or she sulks in the corner. I think we've all had a friend like that where they sulk and you've got to go into, you know, or she's too busy to come around and celebrate with you.
Mm. Yeah, or when you get that brand new house and they go, oh, it's nice, but it's not my style.
Yeah, because even if you're at different levels, you should be happy with it.
Yeah.
And I admit that I was just embarrassed to get rid of a friendship because I felt like I'd failed.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And people are like, how are they going? You're like, oh, we're not friends anymore. Mm.
Do you just stop talking? Or, like, do you actually say to them, I think it's best if we don't interact?
Well, this is
interact.
an indication for you. I stopped calling and then that was it.
Right.
And I look back and I go, it would have been 5-6 years of just me always calling.
Mm. Jamie, you've had toxic friends?
Yes, I have.
What?
So I had one friend who we were friends from like 8 years old through primary school, high school, through the kids, going up to the
Line there. Sorry, Jamie.
Broke up.
It's not you, it's us. Bad phone line. We'll see if we can come back to you.
We don't know about the reception in her place.
Don't blame her.
Maybe she doesn't want to be our friend. Maybe
it's crazy. Right, fine. Did you realise your friendship was toxic? Hang on.
I sure did. I had a friend that used to just constantly expect me to do things for her, and we had an emergency situation where I had driven my partner's car and she had asked me to drive around everywhere, and when I said, hey, I've got to go, there's an emergency, she got actually angry at me, and I just dumped her at the shop, left, and I haven't spoken to her since.
Wow.
And did you not realise until that point? Like, if you look back now, you kind of go, wait a minute, it was one-sided for so many years?
I think a few people, mutual friends and I, kind of got it over time to the point where we would just, if we were doing anything with her, we would drive. So if we had enough of her, we could drop her home.
All right. Anonymous is on. Tell us, what's your story?
So I had a friend in high school. I thought we were best friends for many, many years. And it wasn't until about 3 weeks into grade 12, you know, you start getting close with your cohort, that I realised how much she'd been manipulating me over the years, how much she'd been taking advantage of our friendship, and just how awful she really was. And it took her calling out my body image, flat out calling me fat in front of three cohorts, that was year 10, 11 and 12, in a building that was very close and everyone could hear it. Took for me that for her to realise that she was really awful, she was not a good friend, and that was it. It was many scenarios pent up, but I thought she was a really good friend. I thought that, you know, she needed my help in certain scenarios, and I felt like I was doing the right thing, and it wasn't until that happened that I went, you know what, I may not like how I look, but how dare you call me out in front of 60-plus people.
Yeah. Mm. Brianna, you're on with us. What's your story?
Hi. Well, I had four friends. All of us started in high school, really close. As soon as we moved out into the big world, if two of us weren't following the other two's lifestyle changes, partners, housing, children even, we weren't included in their big days, and they would only speak to us when we had one of those big lifestyle changes. So me and one of the others, we would go through fitness changes and we'd do big competitions for that. They didn't care. It was only when I moved out that I heard from one of them, and absolute radio silence since then.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Wow. Oh, she's got a house. She can be our friend again. Quick, give her a buzz. Oh, had a kid? Yeah,
she's girls back in. Just get her back in. Each other.
Sometimes.
I think that's maybe just also a human thing, you know? Like, I imagine men would be doing it as well.
You probably just wouldn't notice that you're doing
that's
it.
That's exactly right, yeah. Don't pay enough attention.
Marie and Marsden, you had toxic friends?
Yes, well, I was friends with two ladies, like kind of mum's group friends, so always at playgroup and things, and then they weren't really that close, but they got together to throw me a baby shower. So they threw me a baby shower, they got a bit closer, and then once baby was born, they kind of cut me right out. So I was like, oh, I'd be at the park, and then they would turn up together, and things started getting awkward. And then one of them said, oh, well, you know, we'll hang out and we'll do something. And then rang and said, oh, no, I can't. Baby's sick. And I was like, okay. And then on Facebook post, her and the other girl out bowling.
Oh.
And then I called them out on it one day. I said, hey, come on, guys, like, I'm starting to feel a bit left out. And then one of them goes, oh, you might be just really hormonal from baby. And I was like,
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Jamie's back.
Hi, how are you going?
Hey, sorry about that.
That's all right.
What's
so
your story?
I had a friend who we were mates from the age of 8 until our mid-30s. The relationship was always fairly toxic. She was always like, oh, I don't like you being friends with this person or that person. She was really opinionated. And I just said, oh, I'll love you no matter what because you're my best friend. But then it got to a point where she was blaming me constantly for every single little thing that was going wrong in her life. And she'd turn the situation around to make it like I was the problem. So I would say, look, I'm really sorry that I've hurt you or offended you in this way. And then she started saying things like, oh, well, if I have to prompt you for an apology, then your apology means nothing to me.
Mm.
And I'm like, but how do I know if I'm doing something wrong if you don't tell me and I don't realize I've offended you?
Yeah. So that's how bizarre.
Yeah, it got to a point where I was like, you're just looking for people to blame for your problems in life.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm out. And since I've cut that friendship off, I've just been so much happier.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't realise until after. We should put the quiz up and send it to your best friend and say, we should do this together.
No more chances.
No, not for you.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Yeah, Maddie, save that money. So thrifty. Save that money.
I've had a lot of people say to me, I must sound like a tight ass. So I've had a woman say to me before, oh, I've heard about you and your money. I know what you like with your money.
No, you like doing a budget.
I'm a budget boy.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you, over the holidays, I used the spreadsheet.
Oh, the Excel spreadsheet
I've asked you to send 10 times on the budget, and I filled it all out.
And how did you go with
it? Oh, no, I just filled it out. I haven't followed it, but I have filled it out. So it's
baby steps.
Yeah.
My eldest son, Ethan, turns 19 in a couple of weeks. Where's the time gone? he has just started working full time. So he's doing meter reading, water meter reading. So he's so funny. On Friday, last Friday was his first full week. And he goes, yeah, I'm knocking off early today. I went, congratulations. For the first time in your life, you have the Friday feeling. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, Fridays for you usually are just like kicking about, doing a bit of uni work and just waiting for your girlfriend to get home from university. I said, but now you go to work on a Friday knowing that it's going to end and you got your weekend. He's like, yeah, right, Dad, yeah. But now he has income flowing in.
First pay packet is it every week, fortnight?
Fortnightly.
Fortnight.
Every fortnight now. So I've sat down with him and we've done his budget for his, I know, cool dad.
He's got the spreadsheet.
He does. I've done his spreadsheet.
I know.
That's right. I sit down and do goals with my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm equally as boring. They love it.
Yeah. So it's a workout for him. So when he gets his, car insurance and rego and stuff, not to do what I did it at 18, 19, and that's like, wonder, how am I going to pay for that? So he puts a little bit of money away each fortnight.
That's great.
I want him to be in a better position than I was.
Yeah. Everything's on track. Because remember, you said you were going to pay for things when he's 18, but by the time he was 19, he's going to be out on his own. You said
No. We said our board. He's going to pay board. But this is the thing, right? So we went away for the weekend. And he's crafty as this kid. He's so crafty. So we went out for dinner for Esther's brother's 30th. And it's a family dinner, so I'm like, I'll buy you dinner tonight, mate. You know, I want to be able to do that. But he didn't even take his wallet. So he's robbing me of the ability to be like, no, mate, I'll shout you.
Put it away.
Yes.
Yes. There's nothing to put away.
There's no pretending of it. Because he said to me, good, I don't even have my wallet here. So I'm saying to him, I need you to pretend you're going to pay.
I don't take my wallet out if I go with my dad.
Oh, damn it. Because the question was going to be, when does this end?
Uh-huh. Oh, sorry.
And how old are you this year?
Like, lying or for real? No. Why would I? It's dad.
it's dad.
See, this is what he
is.
No,
I mean, let me rephrase this. I should explain it. So if we're going out in a group situation and we're all going there, Scott would offer to pay for us.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and then so I'll leave it up to them. But then if we're going out for, if Dad was to invite us out for in a group situation, then he will always pay. And then we'll do something else, like we'll get him a new lawnmower in a couple of weeks.
for his birthday.
No, or a barbecue and stuff like that, because he won't treat. No, no, no. For,
no, I know what you're saying.
Because he won't treat himself, so then I'll get him some port scent because he still drinks all cask port and cask wine. But yeah, for that, it would be because Dad still likes it.
Does he? Have you asked? They're bleeding me dry again,
Ben. What I'm saying is, every single time if you offer to pay and he's like, I'm paying for you, you get to a certain point where you just don't take it. Well, I'm with Ethan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but this is my point.
You still want you to
pretend. This is my point. I want, if I'm going to pay, I want the legendary status of like, nah, mate, put it away. Daddy's got you. Put
does
it away.
He, does he have his phone? Like, you know how you can use your phone?
Yeah.
So he could.
He could have transferred. He could have said, well
you can just use your phone as a card.
That's a good
days.
Point. Yeah. He might have just transferred it for you.
Well, he didn't pull out his phone and go, Dad, I've got this.
Didn't
he
bring the other phone?
Can I ask Siobhan? Siobhan, if you're going out with your parents, would you just get them to pay?
I'd offer, but you never have the money there.
Presume they'd pay. Yeah.
We do the family tradition of a runner.
Yeah.
Come on, Mum. Lift those legs.
Well, even when we left the surf club, because we're at Alex on the Sunshine Coast, we left the surf club. He hadn't had a drink yet. And so we were like, we were just across the road, said, can you drive me down to the bottle shop? I want to get a bottle of wine. So I had a couple of beers. He's like, yeah, cool. And Esther says to him, you should get a couple of drinks while you're there too, buddy. We'll sit out on the balcony and sit down and have a chat. He goes, yeah, that sounds good, Mum. We get to the bottle shop. He pulls up out the front. And he goes, I'll just wait here. It's like, are you getting anything? He goes, yeah, just grab me 4 Canadian clubs, please. Do you have your wallet? Nah.
But what the hell? He was driving you.
Yeah, but still. I'm not going to be. But still. That, still.
Also,
that's like, I'm like, well, but got any cash?
It's a slow cut off, though. You've got to, you know.
But he should have his wallet because he'd have driver's license.
Well, he had his license. He just didn't have his wallet. License was there.
Where does he keep his
phone
license?
Was there.
Dude, that's weird. Okay.
Just in the dashboard.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, this is the thing, kids. I'm just saying, pretend to pay. Even if your wallet is empty and it's full of moths.
I'll text him that.
Yes.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
The royal family is tonight facing the biggest rupture to the firm in decades.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are stepping back as senior members of the royal family.
Well, it's airing over at the States and our time, 11 a.m, but it is going to be tonight. Talking about the Oprah special with Meghan and Harry. Sit down. It's on 7:30 on Channel 10. And over from the UK, royal commentator Richard Fitzwilliams join us. Richard, are you going to be watching it?
So we have to wait until tomorrow night on my TV for it to be screened. I have to say that the timing of this is one of the things that, real problems that I have with it. As you know, the 99-year-old Duke of Edinburgh has just undergone a successful procedure for a pre-existing heart condition.
Yeah.
He's 100 in the 10th of June. And I mean, it did seem to me this at a very worrying time for the royal family is certainly not tasteful. I accept totally. Perhaps the Sussexes could perhaps have put out a little statement or whatever, which they certainly haven't done. Indeed, to see Harry larking at the round with James Corden's late, late show at the back of a bus, you'd have thought he hadn't got a care in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is a very curious interview, and it could be toxic.
Richard, I understand where you're coming from, and no doubt a lot of people in the UK say the same thing. Some people are saying, and I guess it is predominantly America, that maybe the timing of the bully accusations, you know, for Buckingham Palace to investigate those are poor timing considering she's pregnant and it was some time ago. Do you think that that is bad timing?
I mean, the problem with Oprah, of course, is it's obviously going to be one side. Oprah's a friend and neighbour, and she will give or ask the questions that they want, broadly speaking. She has ways of teasing people into confessions too. There's absolutely no doubt that those accusations, which weren't investigated by the palace when they should have been, they appeared in the Times. The palace has announced its human resources department would investigate now. I mean, obviously, this is all tied up with tonight. The point is that this is 2 hours. It had 30 minutes added to it after they lost their patronages. Whether connected with that or not, I don't know. So we had 3 trailers, the most recent trailer showing very, very clearly that Meghan really hasn't got much of an idea of what it would be like to be a real working royal, because she thought it would be appropriate, and still does, to do an Oprah talk show type interview before the royal wedding, which, quite honestly, isn't the sort of thing that royals do. I mean, it is something that isn't clear cut, because what are they going to talk about, and what damage will this do?
Richard, I'm just picking up a vibe, and the vibe is you're not a Meghan fan.
I have to say, I'm not a fan of the way they've handled this. Mm. But the thing is, the reason I'm not a Harry and Meghan fan on this is actually quite clear. They've got everything they want. They have a happy arrival in the summer. They've huge deals with Netflix and Spotify, and they could have always done an interview with Oprah, but not gone into the details as to why they were unhappy with their royal life, which is in fact why, of course, the vast majority of many, many tens of millions want to hear, I know. But so far as loyalty to the royal family are concerned, which is what their website used to boast, it's surprisingly absent. The Queen didn't know they were doing the interview, and there's no doubt, absolutely no doubt whatsoever, that those trailers are supposed to be pretty toxic.
I get what you're saying, because what you're saying is everything that they are doing and they want to live, they could have done that. They could have had all of their special podcasts, but they're driving the media hype and the paparazzi sort of disgustingness behind it to get talked about, which they're pretending that they're trying to avoid, but they're pretty much the ones fueling it.
Well, the problem is that they, naturally, I appreciate the point Harry makes about his mother, because he talked about what could happen again. And I mean, he's haunted by that. And of course, I appreciate he's done so much for charity with Invictus and the issues of mental health. And Meghan wrote a very moving piece about a miscarriage in the New York Times. But the problem is that they want publicity and they want privacy, and they want both on their own terms.
Do you know who I feel sorry for, Richard? Is the ones that have taken on the role so seriously and have always done the right thing. Talking about Kate.
Prince Andrew.
Talking about Kate and William, because they always seem such a beautiful family that have always done their royal duties.
I would love to get on the beers and have sex with lots of women, Harry.
What's your view on them? Do you feel sorry for them?
Well, I think so far as Kate and William are concerned, this is a very important point, because in Finding Freedom, which Meghan's inner circle collaborated with, we know that, it's a fact. It was perfectly obvious from reading the book anyway. It's a pretty trashy book. But the facts are that the Queen came out of it well, the Prince of Wales did, William and Kate didn't. Now, what will they say regarding, say, the breach between the brothers? Harry admitted that on ITV. It had been rumoured for a long time. There were all sorts of rumours about what tiara Meghan wore at the wedding, and arguments which led to Kate being upset. But just imagine, now this continues, of course, over the next 2-3 days, because they have said that the firm, that is Prince Philip's, coined this name for the royal family, perfects falsehoods. Are they talking about the royal household, or is it individual members of the royal family? We don't know until we watch the interview.
Well, that's actually what I was about to say there. I mean, you are, and I guess you can sort of presume what they're going to say, but you seem to have already made up your mind about what they are going to say without having seen the interview.
Which I can't do, because I haven't seen it, and as a result, we are all speculating, and that's what the press are doing. Tons
they have released,
tons
like,
of speculating.
5 minutes of trailer.
Yeah, but they could be, like, misdirecting. They'd be like, actually, Queenie's London.
Like, I know what you're saying, but when you've watched the extended trailers, you can sort of get the tone of it.
Well, look, Richard Fitzwilliams, you are a royal commentator, and I feel like we're getting the vibe of lots of the UK, how they feel about this going on, but we will be watching it here on Channel 10 and then 7:30 tonight. Appreciate your time. Thank you for calling in this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
We're going to wrap up a day, though, and as we always do at the end of the show, we share and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
This week I actually have a social life, so I'm going to talk about it quite a lot. But today we've got two functions. It's the brunch with Small Steps for Hannah, and then we've got a lunch as well later on. Poor fashion choice. When you wear a jumpsuit.
Oh, Cosmos and jumpsuits.
Just doesn't, you know, and you've got to do the, like, you don't want to ask someone to undo it every time. But it's just bad choice. Thanks, but no thanks.
No one's thought to put a little zip in there somewhere to...
It's not a bad idea, but it would look a bit funny.
Yeah,
it'd
look, it'd ruin the cut of the...
I don't know. You just can in a pinch if it's baggy, but no, it was just bad choice.
In a pinch.
I've done it before.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
No, thanks.
Stayed at a apartment block on the Sunshine Coast at Alex Head's over the weekend. Mm. It was nice, a little getaway with the family. And the Sunshine Coast is a lot more relaxed compared to the Goldie. Like, you know, most of the apartments, there's 24-hour reception, stuff like that. Whereas there, they're always very strict, like 4 o'clock they shut, only open till midday on a Sunday sort of thing. Our kids took their scooters. So, you know what kids are like, the minute you come out of the elevator, they want to scoot on through.
Mm.
I was like, no, don't, guys, walk your scooters. Walk your scooters. I don't want them to walk or scoot past the lady on reception. I misjudged the time on Sunday and they were open a little bit earlier than I thought they were going to be. And I was like, yeah, go for it. Scoot through because, guys, get off your scooters. Get off your scooters.
Good to know you're all show for the lady at reception.
Yes, of course.
No wonder the kids are so confused. What, Dad? Yeah.
Everyone puts on their best show when the reception person is there when you stay at a hotel. Thanks. But no thanks.
Is there anything worse or more annoying than a back in 5 minutes sign on a shop? Because you don't know at what point you've joined this dilemma. Where in the 5 minutes are we?
Should be a digital countdown.
Should be.
And I used to use it, and that used to give me 15 minutes, because I used to know that people would come in and think that it was 5 minutes, and the 5 minutes had started again. So, yeah.
Exactly.
But I never had a 15-minute one, because then
no,
that'd be
back
too long.
In 15, no one would wait around. But 5 is just short enough that you're like, all right, and then you think, well, he's probably been gone for 3. Probably only got 2 to go. Do you want to add to more annoyance of what it was? It was a bottle shop. How annoying is that?
Oh, they know that you're going to wait.
Wait, mate. They can see.
If it was Rivers, nah.
They probably put it up because you're there the same time every day. And they thought, look, let's do something for him.
An eternity later.
I said that to Rory.
So you and your daughter were sitting out waiting for the bottle shop to open. Where were they? I thought there'd be 2 people in there.
Well, there wasn't.
Ah.
There certainly was not. There was 2 people out the front that were not happy.
5 minutes isn't
your daughter.
No, me and another dude.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes isn't even a real amount of time.
You can't do anything in 5.
No, but I mean, as in, like, when someone say how far away, everyone says 5 minutes. But everyone knows 5 minutes means whenever
10,
I get
15,
there.
Because if you said 15, it would be like, well, you didn't organise yourself. But 5 minutes is reasonable for traffic to hold you back.
Mm. So?
Did you wait?
No, I waited for like 5 minutes.
You left?
Yeah.
He turned up like a second after
you
left.
He bloody well did. Thanks for knowing that.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
That's the podcast, guys. Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.